this morning, just pause in your greatness and just realize that you're Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for being our Father. We just thank you for all that you bless us with, and we just so easily take it for granted every day. And we just thank you for encouraged men. We thank you for the faithfulness of the men that have take this responsibility of not only attending these meetings, but Lord, we just pray that there can be things that they learned, that we learned, and can not only learn, but we can put them into action and apply them in our lives and with our families. And we just thank you for this, and we give you the glory. We praise you. Thank you. We just pray for Jason as he shares this morning on the understanding man topic. We just pray that you can just be with him and bless him, as well as each of us that are here. We just commit this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, men. Dr. Alan Myers says that this session he considers this the most important one. And there's a lot of material here, so we're just going to need to really keep moving. It's called The Understanding Man, and it bounces off of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge." And some of the other versions will say, "Dwell with your wives in an understanding way." And that's why it's called The Understanding Man. Part of serving and guarding your family, and we just want to welcome all those who are listening in, whether it's from far away or close by, but also to any of the wives or women who might be listening in. But we're going to be looking at some understanding how God has wired women and our wives. And yeah, I'll just stop at that. I was going to make an off the way comment just for the gals who are listening in, but we will not do that. Part of serving and guarding your family is to be an understanding man. When men do not understand the complexity of women's sexuality, the potential for her to be wounded is very real. Us guys, and if you talk to women, they would say, we're complex. But in the area of sexuality, a whole lot more simple than the way women are wired. Their brain structure, the way God has put them together, and their hormonal chemistry mix is very different than ours. And so to understand that's vitally important if we're going to dwell with our wives in an understanding way. Compounded insensitivity can eventually train her to be defensive, unsafe, and touchy. You know, dealing with hurting couples, this is what you run into all the time. And so much of it comes from our lack of understanding. That's why we do Preparing for Marriage every year in Wummelsdorf, the beginning of, it's usually in the middle to the beginning to the middle of March. It's going to be again this coming year. I don't exactly have the dates. I think it might be March 8th and 9th, something like that. But it's for young couples, but it's for older couples as well. It's for anyone who really wants to learn how to have a relationship. I believe 90% of marriage problems can be prevented. I wish I would have had this material before I got married. So let's keep rolling, and this is the scripture right there. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives in an understanding way, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel. What does it mean to be a weaker vessel? It could have different implications, but quite frankly, she physically is weaker for the most part. That's not always true, okay? And as heirs together, we are joint heirs of the grace of life. We're equal in the sight of God. We have different roles, and he says that if you don't dwell with your wife in an understanding way, your prayers will be hindered. Your communication with God will not go well. And so, young men this morning, you who are unmarried, you're going to hear some pretty straight talk, some very straight talk. But on the other hand, tuck it away. Remember, and for us older men, we need to start hearing it and living it and practicing it. The understanding man must learn to respect the complex nature of a woman's sexual wiring. And for man, sex is easy and quick. All he needs is an erection in a few minutes. His testosterone-driven sexuality is ready to go, unless he's had a recent orgasm and is temporarily disinterested. And I know in our preparing for marriage weekends, we usually say a woman is like a skillet and a man's like a light switch. And here Alan uses a man's like a microwave and a woman's like a crock pot. And if you want to eat a good meal from a crock pot, you're going to have to put the food in early in the morning, plug it in, and you're going to need it to simmer all day long if you expect something tender at the end of the day, right? That's just the way it works. And there's a book out called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. And you can't criticize your wife's cooking and the way she does life and expect her to respond. That's not the way she's wired. It's a reminder here that sex was created by God with intentional purpose. It's to bring couples together. It's for union. It's for pleasure. It's for comfort. It's for healing. It's for procreation, intimacy, discipleship, revelation. We talked about these things, so we're not going to spend a lot of time going over it again. But God had an intended purpose for the physical relationship between a husband and a wife, and there they're listed. The physiology and biochemistry of sex is the product of a brilliant creative expression, and the intention of the Creator is perceived by both his handiwork as well as his written word. The way a woman is created, the fact that the clitoris exists is proof of the fact that God intended a woman to find deep pleasure in sexual intimacy. The clitoris is the only organ in the human body, whether male or female, that is designed for only one purpose as far as man can determine, and that's for pleasure. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. And God intended it that way. And brothers, hear my heart. When we don't understand, and we don't dwell with our wives in an understanding way, when we don't understand how she's wired, you know, I just had somebody tell me, a gal tell me in the last 2 months, she said, you know, they're married for years, have quite a few children. She said, my husband isn't interested in whether I get anything out of the relationship. It's just jump on, do what he wants to do, and it's over with. And so she's frustrated with that. But you know what? She just simply says, for now, I just have to understand that's the way it is. And that's so sad, because you see, God intended it for much, much more. The evidence of God's word is also clear. Sex is supposed to be an anticipated delight for a woman. Song of Solomon is written all around that. Here it says, let me kiss him with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. You know, he's talking about a physical relationship, looking forward to a great meal, just fine food and wine, he's saying. It's something to be to look forward to. And then the comments, how handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming, and our bed is verdant. It means it just flourishes. And he's speaking on the half of the bride here, speaking this about her husband. His left arm is under my head. His right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Ah, you see, you need to prepare. You need to plug the crock pot in the morning. And for you young people, you know, in dating a girl, you want to get to know her emotionally and spiritually. You don't want to arouse and defraud sexually, because it's not time for that. There will be time later. God has a plan, and it's vitally important. When we follow the manual, when we follow God's way, he's designed it perfectly. Your lips drop sweetness as a honeycomb. My bride, milk and honey are under your tongue. That doesn't sound like a mother-in-law kiss, does it? Okay. You're a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You're a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Oh, okay, a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. It means that there's something beyond and behind that needs to be found out and gotten to through careful understanding. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden, that its fragrance may spread abroad. Let my lover come into the garden and taste its choice fruits. You know, brothers, and I'm talking to you married ones right now, you know, when we're thinking about having a relationship with our wives. To just spring it on her minutes before you let her know what you want. That's not preparing your garden so that the fragrance may spread abroad. You know, it's very important to talk about it. It's important to say, you know, honey, right now I just would just love to make love to you. But I need to get off to work. But could we look forward to something exciting tonight? Just something that we could enjoy together. You see, now she'll be thinking about it, not only you. Did you know that your brain is the largest sex organ in the entire body? If we're not both chewing on it and thinking about it, we're going to look at some diagrams coming up here and we'll talk about it some more. To live in the blessing of a sexually fulfilling marriage requires work, sometimes a lot of work. And guess who should take the responsibility for that? It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them in an understanding manner. You see, we are the ones responsible, men. To find out, we need to learn. And that's what this session's all about. It's why Alan says it's one of the most important ones, because if we don't understand and we don't learn how our wives are made and wired and designed by God so neatly and complexly. And I know, brothers, listen, I know quite well, we just came off a weekend of the Anabaptist Awareness of Sexual Abuse. And when I look at the statistics of anywhere, some of the questionnaires that I've handed out are 1 in 2 to 1 in 5 women. 1 in 5 is the best I've ever gotten, women who are sexually abused. That means sitting here in this audience, you married men, 1 in 5 of your wives have been abused. That statistically would hold true. Whether that's actually true of this group, I don't know. But I would say it's probably very close. It could even be higher than that. And when our wives are damaged in that way, guess what it does for us? It creates another whole task of us dying and caring for our wives, which we'll be seeing. Be a valiant man. Be the ox, not a bull in a china shop. Be the lion on behalf of your wife. Guard her heart. Young men, protect your future wife from yourself. I know when my son-in-law, when he was single and he wanted to date my daughter, I think I told this story before, but he came to me to ask if he could date my daughter, and I said, well, we'll sit down and talk. And as we sat down to talk, I told him, I said, you're not asking me for my tractor or my truck or my car. You're asking me for my daughter, and I can promise you that's a whole lot more valuable. And I'll give you my, after we had visited for a while, had lunch together, I said, I'll give you my blessing to date her on two base foundations. And I probably would change it if I'd go back, but these two would still stay there. I'd probably add a few more. But one of them is she's always safe in your presence. Young men, or your girlfriends must always be safe in your presence. You must be her protector. You need to make sure she's safe from other harm too, and safe from wrong influences. You're not taking her places she shouldn't go and watching things you shouldn't watch. Okay? And the next thing I told him is you need to protect her from your own sex, from yourself, from your sexuality. If you can promise me those two things, I'll give you my blessing to date her. And he did. And 2 weeks after they got home from their honeymoon, he came to me and says, Dad, I did what you asked me to. And my eyes filled with tears. Okay, young men, protect your future wife from yourself. Here's that handout. Okay, and this is a handout we use in preparing for marriage, but we use it when I talk to young people a lot. You see, consequences of premarital sexual activity produce a hidden reactionary relationship. When you begin dating, and then if you see up there, it says that cause and effect and God's will. We wonder what God's will is. We went over this before. This is the passage that we've been looking at a lot. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8. And that is that every one of us should know how to possess our bodies in sanctification and honor. But then when defrauding begins, that's arousing passions that are illegal to satisfy. So there's that passage. We're not going to go over it again. We've gone over it numerous times already this year. So here's what it says. It says, it is God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you should know how to control your body in a way that's honorable and holy, not in passionate lust, who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should defraud to arouse passions that are illegal to satisfy. You see defrauding, and you can't hardly read it up there, but it's there it is, arousing desire that's not lawful to satisfy. Understand what defrauding is, and understand that Paul says, God tells you this is what his will is. So what happens is that urge to merge, I can promise you young men in dating, if the urge to merge wasn't there, there would be something wrong with you. But God still asks you to possess your body, to know how to control those urges so that your girlfriend, your fiance is safe from you. And then what happens is when you get married, if defrauding has occurred, then the focus is on physical intimacy. And then she, after you get married, she asks this question. She asks this question, why did he want me? Why did he marry me? Did he want me because of who I am and valuable as a person? Or did he just want my body? And when there's defrauding, she always knows the answer. Even if she doesn't even know she's asking the question, she still knows the answer. And what happens is then when there's a physical relationship, she shuts down and she feels used, even in marriage. I've had quite a few women tell me, yes, when my husband approaches me for a physical relationship, I just feel like a prostitute. I feel used. Why? It was because oftentimes he was not caring for her and he lost the right to lead during courtship. Men give up their role and right of leadership during courtship. Why? Because they haven't shown their girlfriends that they have the strength and the ability to protect them from themselves, to control their own. They couldn't even lead their own bodies, okay? I know. I'm sitting here talking to a group of men, and you've heard me tell my story. I was one of those. I created a lot of hurt and pain in my wife's heart. A wife's lack of trust finds its foundation here. Men, you want your wife to be able to trust you, but I'll tell you, a lot of us have destroyed our wife's trust during courtship because of this reason. Chuck Swindoll, I just really appreciated his quote. I ran into this years ago, and I put it into this teaching. He says, when there's sexual intimacy before marriage, a strange reversal of roles occurs. The young bride marries with disappointment because of what her fiancé has done against her, and she soon becomes dominant and aggressive. It's one of the things that Frank talks about different times. He says, the problem in our world is in our culture, is dominant and aggressive women and passive men. But oftentimes, this can be traced back to courtship right here. Taking the role of leadership from her husband because of all this mixture of resentment and anger. The man, after marriage, he feels guilty and disappointed with himself and ultimately becomes passive. She takes charge and hates it while he backs off and feels miserable. Of the hundreds of couples I've counseled who have admitted to sexual activity before marriage, I can hardly recall an exception to this strange pattern. And of all the home problems observed today, I can only wonder if it could be traced back to this illicit activity before marriage. I mean, this man's in his 80s today. He said this probably when he was in his 70s, but he was an experienced man in pastoring, and those are powerful words. And I can just tell you in my own experience, this is what I've observed as well. Okay, in Caring for the Heart Counseling, John there, he says 99% of the couples that come for him for counseling have been involved sexually before marriage. Do you understand the implications of this? This is sobering and serious. So here's God's way of doing it. To begin dating, emotional and spiritual intimacy develop and grow. You get to know each other emotionally, spiritually. And then when you get married, the marriage is based on, if you begin physical intimacy, but it's based on emotional and spiritual intimacy. There's a oneness that is already there. But during courtship, boundaries are drawn. And you need to draw boundaries. If you don't draw boundaries, you won't have any place to know where you're at. And this past weekend, my brother Frank taught at the symposium, and he said a young lady came to him and said this young fellow came to date her, and the first question he asked is what liberties may I have with your body? Okay, that comes out of our culture. That should never happen, okay? But I put down some boundaries. No lights out, okay? Keep the lights on. No lying down together. No buttons or clips or anything undone that wouldn't be done in public, okay? You see, you have the true intimacy is to get to know one's spirit and to become friends. And there's only two options while dating. You'll either get to know their spirit and who they are as a person, or you'll get to know their body. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways, okay? Older men, heal your wife's heart from not by not doing so, okay, or because you haven't done so. Headship is about leadership. A man is the head of his wife. Good sex begins with an understanding man, and he'll not achieve it without cooperation, but it begins with him. He gets to die first. And I think we've talked about this in the past, how that because of defrauding my wife, I needed to go back and heal that. And I got down on my knees in front of her, and I begged her for forgiveness. I said, I wish I could go back and undo it. And some of you men are here. I just want to tell you, do that. Get down on your knees in front of your wife. And say, I wish I could go back and undo the past. I can't, but I wish I could. But because I can't, I want you to hear, I want to spend the rest of my life treating you like God wants me to treat you. I want to get to know you better and better. But would you? Can you possibly find a place in your heart for what I did to you? I damaged your heart. I damaged your spirit during courtship. Can you possibly find a place in your heart to forgive me? See what happens. The power of a healed life. God is a God of redemption. And he needs us men need to be men of redemption. Because of the pressure of his testosterone-driven sexuality, it seems like he's going to die, okay? But you won't, okay? You'll live another life and dream, but you need to understand that we get to die first. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be a little Jesus to die for our wives. We'll talk some more about it. To be married to a happy woman is a blessing beyond description. The tragedy is that all too often a man has no idea how to make her happy or to undo or unmake the resistance he feels in her. Sex was given by God to make a marriage, not to break it. Here's a quote from Archibald Hart's Secrets of Eve. This is a woman now talking. Sex is now the most beautiful thing in my marriage. It wasn't always so. It took my husband and me a long time to work out our incompatibility, but it was worth the wait. I wouldn't ever want to be without this wonderful gift from God. Sex does more to bring our marriage together than almost anything else. Here's another quote from Secrets of Eve. This is one of the gals writing this. Dr. Archibald Hart oversaw the writing of it, but he had two other gals writing with him. I am saddened, even angered, by the lies society tells about premarital sex. It is stealing a beautiful experience from so many young people. Waiting was the best choice I ever made. And young men, it is your responsibility to make sure that waiting is not difficult for her. Since you can only give it once, I decided at an early age to give the gift only to the man who would love me for the rest of my life. I was blessed to marry a man with the same goal, and now coming up upon our one-year anniversary, we cherish this gift. I can promise you the rewards of walking this kind of a life in courtship and dating will pay off powerfully. Very easy for a man to be self-centered and ignorant of his wife's perspective and experience of sex. He can pressure, complain, criticize, belittle, bargain, threaten, manipulate, and occasionally get what he wants, but at a high price. And when a woman is trained to live self-defensively and under pressure, she learns that sex is a burden. Listen, men, I'm telling you, this is what I hear from women. Sex is a burden. God designed her to enjoy it. Beautiful experience. A whole lot more than you, maybe. The valiant man embraces the call to die first. He's moved by the ewe lamb principle. Remember that? To have a picture of your wife when she was just a young child, even a baby. To remember that she's your ewe lamb and you are to be her guardian, her protector. Remember that that's what God reminded David, you took somebody's ewe lamb, and you used her. The valiant man guards, protects, defends the emotional security of his wife. He believes she is worth suffering for, and he's willing to make her a lifetime study to nurture her life as a woman. This is the pathway to maximize joy for both. Coming up next now is, I put a little clip in here from my brother speaking at the symposium Saturday morning, okay? So we're going to listen to my brother talk for about a little over a minute here. And this is what he had to say to men. Listen up, men. It was powerful. If you have an opportunity to listen to what Frank had to say, it's, you know, his plenary address on Saturday morning, find it and listen to it. It was good stuff. Listen to what he has to say here.
Intimacy in marriage. Men, I want to talk to you a little bit. But I have a question, men. Are you expecting things of your wife that they don't like? In your intimate life, are you expecting things that they find offensive, that they find shameful, that they find painful, disgusting, demeaning? Are you expecting things like that from your wife? I'm here to tell you to stop. You have no right. You have no right to expect that kind of thing from your wife. Absolutely not. Do I need to say that again? You have no right to expect from your wife things that they find offensive. You should love her so much more than that. And no, she's not responsible to keep you pure. That's your responsibility. Many marriages are not loving experiences at all. God tells us to love our wives how much? As Jesus loved the church and he died, Jesus loved his bride enough to die for her. And that's what wives should be able to expect from their husbands. And if they do, they can respect.
Some of the statistics that were talked about on Saturday were that Friday and Saturday, that probably a low estimate of the amount of men in the Anabaptist communities that are into porn is about 70%. My guess is it's higher. Okay. When we look at porn, it causes us to look at a woman as an object to be used for our pleasure, not as a creation by God to be cherished and protected and cared for. And when we look at porn, we see something that is totally blown out of proportion. So many of those gals are trafficked women, or they're paid to perform. It is not natural. And oftentimes they are engaged in things that are absolutely disgusting. I've had women say that their husbands demand oral sex. And I'm not saying that that is a wrong thing. I know some people teach that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it is, but you don't demand it. It's not, if it's repulsive to her, no, you don't demand it ever. You don't demand anything. Quite a few women have told me their husbands want anal sex. That's perversion. That's homosexual sex. That is unnatural, it is damaging, it is destructive. Men, repent and beg their forgiveness. God calls us to dwell with our wives like Christ loved and cared for the church, and he died for her. Why? To redeem himself to himself a beautiful bride. And we can do the same. Brothers, if we've damaged and destroyed, we can go back, we can repent, and we can cry out for their forgiveness and covenant to be that kind of a man that our wives feel safe and protected and cared for. Are you with me, brothers, please? We're going to look at differences. We're going to really have to start buzzing here. Female sexuality is far more complex and affected by many more factors. Hormones. A woman lives with rising and falling levels of estrogen and progesterone. Her menstrual cycle, how often women think about, we're going to look at these charts here. How often women think about sex, circumstances, energy, resources for sex, skin hunger over met by, her skin hunger is now met by her children, and it lowers her skin hunger for her husband. Okay, we got to understand this. Concerns about body image and weight. Listen, our wives, having children changes them. And yes, I encourage women to keep themselves as attractive as possible. But you know something? We don't look the same either, guys. And if I'd have you all stand up and turn sideways, some of you don't have anything to talk about. Okay? What affects sexual desire? You know, the number one thing in a woman is her menstrual cycle, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that she gets a flood of hormones, and it just really... And here's what it says. Percentage of married women who listed what's the most things that impact their sexual relationship with their husbands, menstrual cycle was number one, how she feels about her body. Listen, men, please hear this. Never, never, ever make a negative comment about your woman's body, your wife's body. Never. It's huge. You know, when you walk through the checkout at Walmart and you see Cosmopolitan and those other magazines that have airbrushed beautiful women, that isn't there for men. That's there for your wives to make them feel so unattractive. And our wives struggle with that. Our wives. I don't care how perfect and beautiful a woman is, she always is struggling with how she feels about herself, huge amount about her body image. And you make a negative comment about your wife's body, that's something she won't erase. You will spend the rest of your life trying to undo that. I had a friend, he would make negative comments about her. She came to us and was telling us about this and sitting at our table and crying. Today they're divorced. They were raised in our church. He wanted her to go for breast augmentation, and he would make comments about it. Can't do that, men. Can't do that. Sexual desire for men and women. What you see here is, and sometimes some of these charts can be interesting to understand, but you see, when you look at in the middle there, moderate and strong, women. The peak of a woman's sexual drive is always moderate, but the peak of a man's is strong. And so we have to understand that God has wired us and designed us different. And it's good he did. If we were both up there, we wouldn't get any work done. Okay, never mind. Difficulties for married women. Men, this is so important. The number one, by far, was finding enough energy to make love. And so for us to understand that, we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can. And I'm quoting my brother again. He says, you know, when you come home from work, your job only starts. Because your wife might have been caring for the children all day long. And caring for children can be very tiring and wearing. It's time for us to step up to the plate. And you know, today we're empty nesters. But I think it's only hitting me more now, and I wish I would have got it a whole lot earlier. That even today, I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to make life easier for Grace. To pick up some of the load, I can, and I need to. Okay. Sometimes we think we did our thing when we went to work. It's her thing at home. Yeah. We're in this together. Finding energy with children to care for. Oh, you know, it's interesting when you hear Alan talk about this. The fellow who is doing the emceeing, he says, taking care of your children is the best foreplay possible. And Alan goes, yeah. He says, I never really thought about it that way before, but it is. And you know, when you come home and you know your wife's had a challenging day with the children, you taking time to take care of the children and play with them. Every Wednesday, And our two granddaughters, a 5-year-old and 3-year-old, stay overnight with us. Well, guess what? In our upper years, those two children have energy beyond ours, I can promise you. And I watch my wife just be there and be there and be there and making food and taking care of and everything else. And when I come around, I do my best to take them outside and just give her a break. Did you know your wives need a break from your children? And you're the guy? You're the man to step up to the plate. And besides that, you need to connect with your children and your grandchildren. You see the differentiate in finding energy. Female sexual desire is diminished during childbearing, but not the males. And once again, we talked about the skin hunger thing. When children have, when moms have children and they're nursing at their breasts and they're always touching them, and she's changing their diaper, and they're always wanting hugs, and they're always, mommy, mommy. Guess what? She doesn't need one more person saying, mommy, mommy. When the level of sexual desire of men is compared to that of women, the response curve are similar in shape, but the curve for men peaks at strong, the curve for women peaks at moderate. Female sexuality can be damaged more easily by trauma and abuse, and some of us men are married to women who have had abuse and trauma. And that's where we need to be healers, men, healers, and understand that. We, once again, the statistics prove that most of us men, a lot of us men, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of us men, have that to deal with in our marriages. Male sexuality easily becomes linked with adrenaline excitement. And when we add adrenaline excitement to our sexuality, we create an overwhelming burden for our wives. They can't handle. You know, there's times when you can sense that she's energetic and there, but there's times when she isn't, and you need to be understanding and caring. Sexual arousal for males is primarily visual. For females, it is relational. And if we don't get this, we aren't going to get it. We aren't going to enjoy a relationship with our wives because we're going to look at this very shortly. Women give sex to get intimacy. Listen to this. This is so important. Women give sex to get intimacy. Men give intimacy to get sex. That's hugely different. When women say what they like most about sex, it frequently has to do with closeness, physical or emotional closeness. By comparison, men are more interested in physical release. And that's not to say that women don't enjoy release or that men do not enjoy closeness. They do, but the priority they give to each is different. Then add this to the impact of oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, which impacts women far more because of the presence of estrogen. And a significant difference in sexual expression is defined. Women need that cuddle. They need that closeness. They need the emotional and physical, non-sexual physical attention so that they feel like responding sexually. So here's intimacy differences. The top, this is came from a Gary Smalley survey many, many years ago. A husband needs from his wife, and I have top 10 on both, but we're only looking at a couple here just to make the point. Number one for a man is respect and admiration, and number two is physical responsiveness, and some men would switch those around. And for women, the top needs from her husband is spiritual leadership and to know that she's loved and cherished, and some women would switch those around. But here's the thing. Look at number two is physical responsiveness. For a woman, physical responsiveness is number 7 out of 10. So you see the huge differentiate between the physical needs and attraction from a male and a female. It's huge. But when you talk about the romantic connection, men feel close to their wives during a physical relationship. A woman feels close to her wife when she is being loved and cherished and cared for and communicated with. And so if you think you're going to get number 7 without doing number 2, you're probably going to cause problems. Emerson Eggerichs in Love and Respect says, the way to a woman's body is to touch her spirit authentically. And when I teach this to a group of husbands and wives, men and women, I ask the women if that's true, and they all say, yes, that's true. Okay, women have a heart-body connection. So you touch her heart, and she can respond with her body. But you try and touch her body without touching her heart, she shuts down. Men, this is important information to know. Wives need affection without sexual intentions. I know one woman said, because every time her husband walked through the kitchen, he grabbed her in a sexual way. And she goes, I just wish I could take my body parts off and put them in a box and say, here, go play with them. You know, we can do that to our wives. It doesn't mean that we can't playfully do some things at times, but we need to be careful with it, because if that's all that's happening, they've had enough of it. The way to a man's spirit is to touch his body authentically. Do you guys agree with that? Man has a body-heart connection. You touch his body, and this is, when I talk to women about this, like if I'm doing with a troubled marriage and I talk to a woman about this, it doesn't connect at all. Doesn't connect at all. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because she's wired totally opposite. Men need affection with sexual intentions. And so it's so interesting when we do preparing for marriage and we can teach young couples before they get married, this is so important. Guess what? Now you eliminate a huge area of contention in a relationship. What do women like most about sex? And once again, there it is. Physical closeness and emotional closeness and time together. You see, those are the three top. That doesn't register with us men. Okay, what do women like least about sex? The mess. Do you know sex can be messy? Okay, listen, men, why don't you step up to the plate there? And why don't you make sure that you get the towel and you take care of things so that it's not messy? And then you expect her to sleep in a mess. Okay, guys, I'm sorry, I'm being pretty blunt. But men, we create a problem. And sometimes we don't think about it because we're not being thoughtful. What if you start being thoughtful about it and you're the one who makes sure that things are prepared? Okay? That's important. Inconvenience. It hurts. Ooh, look at the next one. Partner's smell. Guys, you don't think about it, do you? You come home sweaty, and it's not Saturday, so you didn't take your bath yet or your shower. Come on, guys. Okay? That, you know, this is what women said. So that's number four, is the way their partner smells. You better brush up, guys. Okay. We better brush up. Okay? Words that a partner uses. You know, be careful with our words. We can use disgusting words, and it's not something our wife appreciates. Let's go back. Too tired. Positions. Practices. That's what Frank was talking about. Don't ask her to do things that she doesn't find okay. That's huge. Huge, man. Association between marital happiness and sexual satisfaction. Happy married people are sexually satisfied, generally speaking, for the most part. Okay. We're done. It's time for small group. Now, there's questions in the back of the book. And there's questions for singles. And there's questions for married. They're different, so you group leaders recognize that. And for those of you here for the first time, there's going to be small group right here in the front, or even if you've been here and this has been your small group, that's okay. After we're dismissed here, you can meet here. Men, thank you. I believe we can change the future. We can have a huge impact on the future generations because of the way we deal with our sexuality. This is big. It's really big. It's bigger than what we think. We need to dwell with our wives in an understanding way. You're dismissed.